I'm not going to sing a special. There are no specials tonight, only the sermon. If you will, please turn to Acts chapter 2. I'd like to preach on Pentecost. Lord laid this sermon on my heart. As you know, I preach about once a month, and so I pick out what to preach about a month early. And when I did, Pastor Whitaker preached on the need of the power of the Holy Spirit. I didn't even think about changing because I think it's tremendous need in the day we live. Again, Acts chapter 2 is a pivotal chapter in the New Testament. Here, the Holy Spirit begins his official ministry on earth. And I want to ask you, what's your relationship with the Holy Spirit? I'm going to slow down. I ask you, think about it. I'm not asking you what your relationship is to God. I'm not asking you what your relationship is to the Bible. I'm asking you what your relationship is to the Holy Spirit, that third person of the Trinity that lives in us. Okay? If we were living in the day of Jesus, we'd really want to spend time with him. We'd want to get to know him. We're living in the day when the Holy Spirit, I want to say again, lives in us. What's your relationship? If you're saved, you should make sure you have a right relationship. Now, Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Ask yourself, has Pentecost fully come to your life? Let's pray. Again, thank you, Lord, for everybody that's here. And Lord, you know how I know and feel the weight of responsibility to preach, especially on this subject. Lord, help me to just preach what you'd have me to, not fall over on one side or the other. But Lord, Holy Spirit, more than anything, I pray that you'd speak to hearts and help Christians to understand the necessity of a relationship with you. Help us to live as though you're real, not just in theology, but in practice. In your name we pray. Amen. Acts chapter 2 is one of the great battlegrounds of the New Testament. Anytime anybody wants to debate the charismatic movement and speaking in tongues, they go straight to Acts chapter 2. If people want to debate the idea of the birth of the church, they go end up there at least. When somebody is trying to contrast the filling of the Holy Spirit with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they end up there also. When fussing about baptismal regeneration, they'll always take you to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 is a bunker hill. It's a spiritual Gettysburg, you might say, a biblical Gettysburg. But God did not give us Acts chapter 2 to argue over, but to apply to our hearts. Now, I really feel a real responsibility preaching on this tonight, because I could, as I prayed, you can fall over on one side or you fall over on the other side. I think a lot of independent Baptists are afraid of it because they don't want to be thought of as Pentecostal, quote unquote. Biblically, we are Pentecostal, but not what is thought of today. So, again, the average Christian misses the real issues of Acts chapter 2. It's not given to us to brag about speaking in tongues. It's not given to us to argue or talk about the fire on our head or something like that. But what's the real issue? The issue is, are you filled with the Spirit of God? That's the issue. Do you have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? Now, I'm talking about falling off this side, falling off this side. I don't want you to be afraid because of what the thought of this is in today's world, the Pentecostal world. But on the other hand, I think we just kind of ignore the need for the power of the Holy Spirit. And I just want to stress again, He is the third person of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the one that lives in us. And I'm asking if you have a relationship. These first Christians had an encounter with Him. They were endued with Him. They were anointed by Him. They were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And again, I say, are you? I'm not asking you if you have the Holy Spirit. If you're saved, you do. But the second issue of this chapter is there are 3,000 saved, baptized, and added to the church. That is a big issue here and throughout the entire New Testament. Now ask yourself, again, are you filled with the Holy Spirit and do you see souls saved? Is your home filled with the Holy Spirit? What about our church? Is our church filled? We've got a lot of substitutes. Our pastor talks about jamming in churches. You get a bass guitar or whatever it's called and get jamming up there and a drum set and away you go. And boy, after a while you say, I feel the Spirit. No, you don't feel the Spirit. Okay? You'd have the same feeling if you went to a jazz club. Okay? Now, I believe in music. I like music. I am the worst singer in a church. I am horrible. I am horrible. But I love music. I love the fact that God gave us this organ and somebody to play it. I understand there's 1,200 pipes back here for this organ. We have two beautiful pianos. I love, my favorite music is two pianos and an organ all playing at the same time. I love it. I love the vocal music. I love the brass ensemble and all this type of thing. But I'll tell you, that should not take the place of the Holy Spirit. Are you following what I'm saying? Music should aid the ministry, not replace it. I love Sunday school campaigns. COVID kind of hurt our fall one. We only had, I think it was 85. But boy, in the spring when we had our dedication and so forth, wasn't that exciting? I mean, all the different people, I don't know how many Mormons were here. I think a couple dozen Mormons and all kinds of people and people eventually saved. I love Sunday school campaigns. Mike knows that. He's been a part of it when I was a pastor. But Sunday school campaigns, you understand, getting worked up about a Sunday school campaign should not take the place of the power of the Holy Spirit. I love organization. That is one talent that I have, one of the few. The Bible says, let all things be done decently in order. But God never gave organization as a replacement for the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. When we rely on organization, we will get what organization gives us. When we rely on eloquence, some preachers are eloquent, we get what eloquence gives us. Same thing could go with money or music or anything else. But thank God when we rely on the Holy Spirit, we get what He produces. And He produces miracles. Miracles. Come on, miracles. I'm not trying to get you to say amen. I'm trying to have your eyes open and say, yes, miracles. Not that we produce, but He produces. Wonder, amazement, power. And I'm not satisfied with the product of organization or music or anything else. I am not satisfied without the power of the Holy Spirit and the reality and thrill that He brings. Now, again, I ask, are you filled with the power of the Holy Spirit of God? Do you see results in your home? Do you see results in your ministry, in your life? do you see souls saved? The average Christian in 2021 is bogged down somewhere between Calvary and Pentecost. He knows he's saved, but he does not see the Holy Spirit working in their life. We have enough salvation to get to heaven, but not enough of the Holy Spirit to bring heaven down to us. Let's go deeper. Let's go further than Calvary. Call it anything you want, the filling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't argue about it. I am not a theologian, okay? I'm just an old-fashioned Bible preacher. But let's not stop until we see the Holy Spirit working through us in power. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? I'm not saying that we should go back and celebrate the Pentecostal feast. All that was nailed to the cross with Jesus. I'm not saying we should have an actual Pentecost. But what I am saying is that every Christian should have the atmosphere of Acts chapter 2 in their life. That fervor. Let's forget about speaking in tongues. Let's forget about that wind and the tongues of fire. But ask yourself, do you have that power? Do you want that power? Now, there are three simple things, and this is a simple sermon. Three simple things that I see in this chapter that'll bring us that power of God in our personal lives, and I'm speaking to us as a church. First of all, if the day of Pentecost is to fully come in our lives, in our home, in our church, there must be a oneness, a oneness. There must be, on my part and yours, a togetherness, a brotherhood. If you're to see more of the power of God, our church must really have unity. Again, verse 1 says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." All, not a few, not most, not the important ones, but all with one accord in one place. Diversity must make way for unity. Prejudice must be out. We've got to be colorblind. Cultural differences must be out. Animosity, class differences, gone. We must all come together for one purpose, and that's to glorify God. And I know we'd explode. Now, God has blessed our church. But you know, I've been around this for a long time, and churches hit plateaus. And this church, I know our pastor, he doesn't want us to say, "Praise God, we really grew for a few months and we've stood still for years." We want to keep going. We want to build on what we have. And so to do that, we've got to have one great desire. And if we have it, you talk about thrill. Talk about a purpose in life. People feel sorry for themselves. I've, again, worked with people all my life. They feel sorry for themselves because they're poor or they haven't accomplished anything. Or people strive for success in certain fields. And they miss that great success that God wants for us. And that success is soul saved. Man, if you've won a soul to the Lord, you know there's never been a time when you've been more excited. I mean, you just float. You just want to tell you, "Whoa, man, that guy got saved or that woman got saved." There's nothing more exciting than that. Christians uplifted. A God working through us. Can there be anything more exciting than God working through you? But the problem is that our hearts and minds are going north, east, south, west, and don't think about the will of God for any length of time. And without one accord, we'll never see the kind of Pentecost we can have. God wants for us. How can two walk together unless they be agreed. That's what the Bible says. How can 100 walk together unless they're agreed, or 200? Read all the book of Acts. God's power came with their unity. Now, let's see the great purpose of the Holy Spirit's power in soul winning. Plan for unity. Ladies, I'm not saying I don't know of any rift or any problem in our church, but I do know people. Ladies, love one another, nice clothes or not. Men, love one another, smart or not. Teenagers, love one another. Don't pick. Where do you stand in unity? Some just stand on a periphery. They never want to really get in. They're afraid. Maybe they had their feelings hurt at one time. And they stand out there in a periphery. When you and I, or this church, see the power of God, is when we'll all come together and honor Him and see people saved. The Holy Spirit will withhold Himself until there's a commitment to oneness. Now, I'm not saying we should just march like little tin soldiers. I've seen that. It doesn't work. We see that in our community. Just march like a little tin soldier. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about getting together. I'm talking about loving one another. I'm talking about seeing the need to dedicate ourselves to encourage and help one another to do all we can for God. Amen. That's normal, okay? That's what God has for us. We need to just determine to be right with God, and if we're right with God, we'll be right with each other. A man went to visit a family many years ago, a farm family, and they didn't have electricity before, but they had remodeled their home. Now they had electricity. They had new lights and new appliances and everything. But when the man came in, he saw they were still using kerosene lamps. And he was shocked, and he couldn't help but ask, "You have electricity. Why are you still using kerosene lamps?" And the guy said, "Well, we just haven't got around to turning them on." And spiritually, we have everything. We have central air and central heat. You understand? We have everything. But I'm afraid most Christians just haven't got around to turning the power on. When are you going to come to God and say, "I need your power"? More than food, more than a roof over my head. Boy, if there's any time in my lifetime we need power, it's today. You just look at our country. Look at our state. Look at our city. We need power. Understand, we're not going to do it with organization. I want to stress that again. We're not going to do it with organization. It's going to only be done through the power of God. When that happens, we'll get together, not only on the surface, but in reality. We'll love one another as we're taught in the Bible. How can we expect power from God if we can't take care of that elementary thing? Really caring. Pentecost will fully come when we put the proper emphasis on oneness, but also when we get back to what is normal for all Christians. I want to stress that. Read your Bible. What is normal for all Christians? There's a normal family described. There's a normal church described. Normal life. If you've been saved very long, as I mentioned, you know what these things are. And a big part of normal is soul winning. Amen. Spreading the gospel. Now, is it normal, as you read your Bible, to pray for the sound of the rushing of wind? No. That was a sensational welcome to the Holy Spirit. Is it normal for us to pray for cloven tongues? I tell you, I see Mike out there. If I came visit you and I came in your house and all of you are there with tongues of fire on your head, I'd be gone. It's not normal. Now, again, that's not just me saying this. Read your Bible. It is not normal. Being filled with the Spirit of God is taught as being expected, though. It's taught as being normal from the time of this verse on. It's scriptural. Acts 4:31 says, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke with boldness. That's normal. That's normal for a New Testament church. Ephesians 5:19 reads, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's an order. That's an order from God. And God doesn't give us odd orders, abnormal commands. In Acts 4:8, it says Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost. In Acts 13:9, we see where the Apostle Paul was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, if it's normal to be filled with the Spirit of God, it is abnormal not to be. We put a preeminence on giving, and we should. We put a preeminence on soul winning, and we should. We have put a preeminence on working for God, coming to church, and so forth. But let's ask, why don't we put a preeminence on being sure we're powerful in performing these tasks? We need power. But again, most people don't even think about it. Now, again, Pastor Whitaker preached on this about 3 weeks ago on Thursday night. And he talked about D.L. Moody, for one. D.L. Moody, it said, took two continents for God and shook them with millions being saved. Okay? You say, I read this about D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody was a great soul winner. He wasn't very good at English. He never went to college, never. He was a shoe salesman that got excited for God. Now, if you were to ask Dale Moody, if he was standing here right now, and you ask him, how do you explain this? He'd say, the power of the Holy Spirit. Same thing with Spurgeon. Pastor Whitaker quotes him almost every Sunday. He loves Spurgeon. He believed in being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and his church was busting open. He had to have tickets to get into his church. He would say, okay, church people, stay away because we're going to have all the unsaved people come in. And he'd have all these people saved. There's thousands of people saved. Now, I want to say something. In the Bible, it teaches we need the power of the Holy Spirit. As I read as a young preacher boy, I was just overwhelmed with the thought of the need of something. I knew I could not pastor. And as I read about it, I read the Bible, and then I read R.A. Torrey on the power of the Holy Spirit. And from one to another, do you know, I could be wrong, but I don't know of one of those great men that were greatly used of God that didn't believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, why, if the Bible teaches it, and why, when God used people greatly, why, if they believed it, when I was pastoring, I guess it's about two generations ago now, Pastor Winters knows that there are problems with these. I'll tell you, I think it's my theory that sometimes God blesses greatly and the pastor gets a big head and stumbles over it. But the thing I want to say is that when I was pastoring, the great churches in America were independent Baptist churches. Thousands in size. Thousands. Where Pastor Whitaker's from in Ohio, what would you say, maybe 20 churches of thousands in one state? Now, soul saved, touch it. I read where they felt Reagan got elected because of independent Baptists. What about now? What's the difference? I'm not saying in our church, but I'm saying all over America, the young men, this generation, despises what I'm preaching. That's why I'm preaching it now. As most of you know, I had a Bible college in a church. And little did I know, even the people teaching in my Bible college were undermining what I was preaching against this. So, what's happened to the church I pastored? Is shriveling up to nothing. Not seeing souls saved. The teenagers going to the devil. Every bad thing you want to think of. And I believe it goes back to this right here. Some pinhead professor in Bible colleges that they don't know anything. They're not soul winners. They're not preachers. They're pinhead professors, and they've taught our preachers today not to believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, and our churches are shriveled up. What's happening in our church is totally different than what's happening all over America. And I think you can bring it right back to this subject that I'm preaching on tonight. Now, I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit indwelling us. The Bible says if you have not the Spirit of God, we are none of His. If we're saved, He lives in us. What, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit of God? If you are saved, you have Him. But we ought to want to have all His power possible. We ought to want more than to have Him inhabiting us, but Him to fill us to capacity. They were praying for the power of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2, and they got Him. They were endued with the power of the Holy Spirit. One day, D.L. Moody was speaking on this subject, and he used a visual aid. He held a glass up, and he said, how do you think I can get all the air out of this? And one person said, suck it into your cheeks, and another one said, use a machine or something like this. And D.L. Moody said, let me show you the best way. And he held it up and took a pitcher of water and filled the glass up with water. He said, if you want all the air out, fill it up. And if we want all the air of pride and self-esteem and ability, if we want it up, out, fill it up with the Holy Spirit. That's normal for a Bible Christian. But we don't have many normal Bible Christians today. So oneness, look for things that are normal, like the Holy Spirit. And then quickly, third, we must practice the real purpose of Pentecost, and that's soul winning. Now, it's got a lot harder. Again, I've been in the ministry for well over 50 years. I used to be able to knock on doors and lead somebody to the Lord, and they'd be out to church that Sunday and baptized that Sunday night. But people don't even know the Bible anymore. They don't even know who God is. And so it's harder. But I just want to say that wanting the Holy Spirit is not something so we can brag about speaking in tongues or cloven tongues of fire or running around. Verse 41 of chapter 2 says, then they that gladly received His word, were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to set us on fire to be soul winners. Again, I say it's really a lot harder today. And we live in a hard town. But we're here to win souls. Your neighbors, your relatives, the people you work with, friends, loved ones, But ye shall receive power, and after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Hebrews 2:10 says, we're to bring many sons unto glory. Get them to heaven. You can study and say you experience the power of God. But if you have not been driven to pray for and really try to win souls, you've been deceived. We have independent Baptists walking the pews. I don't know if Debbie remembers this, but it was when I was pastor of church. Were you there, Mike? Yeah, Mike was there. I'm talking about a long auditorium. This guy was preaching, and he walked the pews. I'm talking about the backs of the pews. I didn't know what to do. But what was he trying to do? He was a nut. What was he trying to do? He's trying to prove he had power of the Holy Spirit, I think. I've been in church services when people get up and just start running around the auditorium. I don't know what good that does. People shout and do. All they're trying to do is act.
Right. That's right.
Act. The real issue is verse 41. When they that gladly received his word were baptized, in the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. I'm going to ask you to ask yourself, did you take the sermon serious? I certainly don't. I don't pretend to say that I know everything about this. I've given you everything I know about it. And I know it's a delicate subject. But when I entered the ministry, I want to remind you, or maybe some of you don't know me, I was a kid that ran the streets of Chicago, failed two grade school grades for getting in fights, had to take 9 years of speech therapy because I couldn't put two words together, etc. I knew I could not pastor a church without the power of God. And I think that's a problem with some people, young people today. They think they're pretty good. They think they could do it. Well, you're in trouble. I knew I couldn't. And so, our house, we had a room with no furniture. We didn't have much furniture, but we had a room with no furniture, and that became my prayer closet. I don't think you have to be in a certain position to pray. And there again, there was nothing. I just laid prostrate on the floor and pounded the floor and begged God, told him what he knew already, that I can't do it. I had to have his power. And not weeks, not months, but I would guess a couple of years. You say, what does it take that long for? He has to mold you. He has to deal with sin. See, I don't know if it's worth it. It's worth it.
Amen.
And God gave power. If you can imagine, and I'm not bragging. Sometimes I wonder, should I say it or should I not say it? But if you can imagine a large auditorium with invitations with people all the way down the aisles, the church grew in 3 years from 200 to 2,000. That's the Holy Spirit. And I'm not saying what God, I'm saying God wants to do that in every good church. God has given us a taste of it here. But God wants to do, God, Sharon and I have already talked about it. Man, we set up a couple hundred chairs in the foyer, and you put a TV thing, a monitor up, and put the chairs, turn them around in the other room back there. That's what God wants in this church. And I hope someday we'll see that. Just jam-packed. That's what happens in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I don't think that he quit 25 years ago. I think we quit. I think we have a bunch of soft Christians who just don't care. They think they're pretty cool. I beg of you, please determine tonight that you want to do all you can to see Pentecost fully come in your life, in our church. In our church. Work toward unity. That's easy. Just help, be nice. Turn the other cheek. You'll always have problems. Turn the other cheek. Beg for normal, biblical power in your life, which is not normal in 2021. Live out that power doing the number one thing God wants us to do. No, we got to be clean. We got to be right. But he wants us to be working on souls in our Sunday school class, on the bus, knocking on doors, bringing people to church, whatever works. Let's believe in the Holy Spirit of the Bible and give him a chance to put into practice what he wants to do in Mountain Valley Baptist Church. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit. I pray that you'll just deal with our hearts. Lord, I certainly don't think I'm what I should be. Never have. But I believe you'll use us. I pray we'll do everything we can to get our life in line so you can use us. And we'll see many, many more souls saved, lives changed, Christians grow. Our church will explode for your honor and glory. In your name we pray. Amen.